What is going on, Badger fans? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Badgers. As always, appreciate you tuning in, jumping on the show. Great conversation today with one of my favorite Badgers Twitter personalities, someone I really like interacting with, enjoy his insight on things. We're going to talk about Badgers basketball, state of the program type discussion today on Locked On Badgers. Let's go.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to Locked On Badgers. I'm your host, Ryan Herrings, your team every single day. Today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. FanDuel is the official sports book of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. All right, we're going to bring Scary Alvarez on for the third time on the show. Welcome back, my friend.
It's amazing. And you had mentioned something about being, you know, one of your favorites. And that's always gratifying to hear. The feeling is mutual. I'm also... I believe I'm one of your favorites, so this is great. You got some good guys. By the way, you got some good dudes on this show. I mean, some guys that you know, rocking funky beards, and they know a lot of stuff. It's refreshing.
Yeah, we're very lucky to have guys like Jason, John, just lots of good people come on the show. I'm very fortunate and humbled by it for sure, and yourself included. Although I did mention, as we talked about, the pay doesn't increase the more you come on the show. So, sorry about that.
Oh, I'm doing just fine, Ryan. I hope we get to worry about that. Oh, no, I have to cut back on my Wine Island purchases this year. Oh, no, it's probably better for tax purposes anyway.
Mm-hmm. They always find a loophole. Let's talk here. So you've been on the show. We talked post-Paul Christ being let go. We talked post-Luke Fickell coming on. We haven't talked basketball. And if anyone who follows you on Twitter, I'm sure, is aware of this, you have generated some angst among people who are frustrated with the basketball season. I think that's fair to say, correct?
I think that's fair to say. And, you know, we can dive into this a little bit, but ultimately, I think for a lot of these folks, there's a lot of good people on here who are frustrated with the basketball team. I'm not trying to paint with that broader brush, but I think people who are the most anguished about this are the same people who project all of their frustrations with life onto college sports and pro sports. It's sort of a mindset, and that makes small problems seem so much bigger, and it makes perspective a bit of a problem for some people. And that's just the way it's always going to be. I think that's a disproportionately large amount, disproportionately large number of the people who are mad at me have that mindset.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a portion there. What about this season in particular? You mentioned something on Twitter, which I thought was really interesting. You brought up a meme, but it's something that's been kicking around in my head too. This is a season where Badger fans are really, there's a portion of them that are very frustrated. Some calling for Guard to get fired. Some saying this is the beginning of a trend. The trend has been going on. And it's a season where Guard has the team squarely on the bubble, right? When I say that out loud, it feels like an overreaction among the fan base to some degree.
It's an overreaction born of success. So I guess with the good comes the bad sometimes. And, you know, look, I'm not saying people who are younger or newer Wisconsin Badger fans are less valuable. I mean, they are. Just kidding. But not really. But those of us who have lived through the tough times, the, you know, 47 years in between, although I wasn't. Well, I guess I was technically since I was born a while ago, but the long period of time between NCAA births that finally ended in 1994, and then even beyond that with some of those teams in the 90s going in before Bo got hired, you know, there just wasn't any sort of unified freakout for missing one, two, even three tournaments in a row at those points. And good, we're past that. We have a new era, but with that comes some responsibility. And the responsibility is taking each season as a season and getting some perspective. You know, I think a common refrain is, oh, no, they're going to have only won the Big Ten two of the last 4 years after the season. You know, I mean, that doesn't mean you can't shoot for the stars and want to get Elite Eights and Final Fours. That is all absolutely valid as a fan. We've been there not so long ago. Feels like a long time ago sometimes. But the reality is, and we can dissect this much further, Greg Gard has been, under any evaluative structure, a highly successful coach at Wisconsin, based on any number of metrics, based on his peers in the Big Ten over the same time. Many of these blue blood type programs have had multiple coaches. So, you know, I think coming at that with a little bit of perspective is helpful. But that said, and we can also explore this, I have had some frustrations with Gard this year from time to time. I don't think I've been shy about it, but the unifying principle of everything is he is a damn good coach, and there is no realistic discussion this year about him being fired. That's as the Brits say, that's poppycock.
Well, let me ask you this. So, and I listen, I've done a lot of shows talking about Greg Gard this year, and so this is not just because you're on here. I tend to agree with your overall stance here. I don't think Greg Gard should be on the hot seat. I think winning the Big Ten regular season is a huge deal. I would never gloss over that. But what about the point of view that people bring up that says you're judged based on what you do in the tournaments? Regular season's great. March matters.
I don't think that's unfair. In fact, I would, you know, I'm a winner. I'm one of the consummate winners. And I believe, kind of like any of the Rose Bowl, if you get to the Rose Bowl and don't win the Rose Bowl, yeah, it's great to be there, but that's not Wisconsin success. So by the same token, I think that's the closest analogy I can think of is winning maybe Sweet 16, getting there. And I get that. Guard's tournament success has not matched his regular season success, and that's a totally valid criticism. Okay, now let's take a step back though. 2019-2020, that team is playing as good as any team in the country. Mm-hmm. As we're approaching March Madness, approaching the Big Ten tournament. Now we don't know. Maybe it would just have validated. He would have gone out in the round of 32 and he would have lost. Who knows? That was a team that was set up for success and had, I believe, an 8-game winning streak heading into the Big Ten tournament at that point. So I think it's a little unfair. He's not been here 20 years. I mean, taking one of his very best teams from a, you know, sort of a cohesion perspective, that team was just locked and loaded. They were talented. They had the right mindset. Who knows what that team would have done? Okay. First 2 years, oh, it's by those guys, but whatever. He's coaching them. He gets Sweet 16 and really probably should have had a lead in both games.
Yep.
So I'm not sure if that cuts both ways, maybe. And, you know, there have been a couple early exits. Trying to think who that was. There was one that was just mind-boggling. But, you know, even with a team that was struggling in 2021, they did beat the North Carolina team that would the next year go on to be the runner-up. So, you know, and then last year where a Chucky Hepburn ankle injury, in my opinion, away from an Elite Eight berth. I mean, again, that's just, you know, it's guesswork, but I think they would have handled Miami. A few little things here and there would have changed that narrative substantially. So it's not like Gard makes the tournament every year and then every year loses in the first round. He just can't do it. They can't take the heat. They're like Texas under Shaka Smart. But it's not like that. There have been circumstances that have been made everyone sort of unique. But stepping back, yes, it is a generally fair criticism that Gard has not done more than the Sweet 16 given his time and some of the talented teams he has had. That is a fair criticism, but it is not a fireable criticism right now.
Yeah, and I'll thinking back on your comment from last year's team, because it wasn't just – to me, it wasn't just Hepburn. Clearly, Davis was nicked up down the stretch too. And
oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I firmly believe, man, if those two players are healthy, they are – certainly they're absolutely not losing to Iowa State. But that team had a run in it, and I think it's a shame that we never got to see that, right? Now, that goes into my next question, though. Building depth, and you can't build depth to insulate against Johnny Davis being hurt, right? But building depth has been a legitimate concern for 2 years, in my opinion. And I don't think we did much as much as we needed to do this offseason, because that's the other point people bring up. This roster is not deep enough. Who's in charge of roster construction?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it goes to recruiting, and we can talk about that too, but you know, look, Klesmet and McGee, great pickups. They fit into the structure. They bought it, especially McGee now. We're just starting to see what he can do. I don't know where this has been or what the deal is, but I think having both him and Chucky is just that's a great point guard position right now. I feel great about going forward. Hopefully Chucky's okay. But I said this at the time, people can go back and look as some of these guys are turning down Wisconsin and going to other places in the portal. I said, not getting a big in the portal is going to come back to haunt us. And here we go. So it is 100% valid. And I don't know the dynamics behind who said yes or who they're going after, eggs in a basket. But the reality is Gard left his team short at in those big positions. And, you know, if it wasn't for some really spirited defensive play by a former walk-on, we'd be in a lot more trouble. And some of that's developmental, but that goes back to guard too. I think mm-hmm. you want a little bit more to some of the younger kids, and they're just not getting it. Doesn't mean those guys won't be good players down the road. I think they probably will be. But, you know, one kid who isn't able to play his senior year of high school gets redshirted and then expected to come in and give meaningful Big Ten minutes, that's a big ask. So, yeah, I mean, to make a short story long, guard absolutely should have added a big in the portal, a la, you know, what we did last year. It doesn't have to be a superstar, 5-5 guy that gives you 20 minutes. Bingo. Probably win 3 more games this year. But that's one piece of the puzzle, and with the good and the bad. And yeah, I mean, it's a fair criticism. And I hope coach has learned from this and will never let this happen again. Because it's not like we've had a ton of injuries. I mean, yes, losing, Neath, there have been things here and there, but we've been pretty healthy. I know Wall going down early and taking a while to get back. But I guess that just underscores the need for depth. So,
yeah, and to your point, man, just getting a Chris Vogt, right? Like that's not a superstar. It's not a ceiling raiser, but that's a guy that can give you 10 minutes, 15 minutes off the bench. And he made a difference last year. So just a player, two or three players like that coming off the bench that you can count on for 10 minutes, it's a huge deal.
Yeah, it's true. And kind of related, though, the flip side of that is, people are so quick to say, guard can't recruit. He can't do these. I'm sorry. There's a certain freshman on this year's team that is unquestionably, I know, barring injury or he might transfer. I don't know where that's coming from. But if this kid sticks around at Wisconsin and continues to go the way I think he is going, our little guy from Indiana is going to be one of the all-time Badgers. It's just, we gloss over. Guard can't recruit. What the frick are you talking about?
Thank you for catching yourself, by the way.
Leave that out. I'm thinking about my wife getting mad at me and having the frying pan there saying, watch your language there. But, Isijin was the only guy, I believe, in the class, the only scholarship player in that class. And he's an absolute gem. Guard can recruit. This guy wasn't a big-time blue chip four-star. I mean, yes, he was the number five, came in number five in the Mr. Basketball in Indiana from a small school, though. I mean, so this was a diamond in the rough in some sense, looking at his offer sheet. So, with those criticism have to come some other stuff. Guard's 2023 class. And we're not going to have to make his recruiting special, but, Gus Bus, he is going to be my prediction for him, he's going to be a quintessential Wisconsin guy. He's going to be an all-time favorite. I don't know if he's going to be the best player in history. He's got talent. He has huge upside. But he's going to be a culture guy that is going to be the kind to recruit people and get the fans excited, which we could use. And, that's a great get. And Nolan and Zilli, it's a really nice, really solid, above-average 2023 class coming in for the Badgers. And then if guard can seal the deal on a couple of these 24 guys, Khan, Freitag, McAndrew, I mean, just get two of those guys to mm-hmm. add to the one we already have, that is going to be possibly an all-time Badger class. So, this tired narrative, guard can't recruit. Well, you have some bullets in the chamber there to prove your point, but it's also absolutely not true.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you're also
talking about Johnny Davis. You're recruiting Johnny Davis.
Yep, you're also talking about a lottery pick, right? And mm-hmm. Regardless what happens in the NBA, that's a player people thought high enough to be the 10th pick in the NBA draft. And you have to give people the other thing too that I find interesting. People are so quick to write off the Johnny Davis recruiting win, in-state kid, and they're so quick at the same time to criticize Greg Gard for missing on in-state kids. You can't have it both ways. He landed them, he developed them, he went to the NBA. That's a huge recruiting win, feather in the cap. Don't gloss over that.
Absolutely, and I made what apparently many people didn't realize was a joke about guard missing on Tyrese Haliburton, the mid three star is it Eau Claire, and it was just no one looking at mm-hmm. his offer list. I think Minnesota might have offered him, maybe Rutgers, but I mean he was not seen as he's the kind of guy. Haliburton, had guard gotten his commitment, the same people who are criticizing guard for not being able to recruit now would have been saying, "Meh, not feeling it. Who's this bum? Why can't we get a Milwaukee kid with a four-star?" And it's just – so that's what I was going for with that. And I guess it kind of flew over people's heads, which is fine because I'm hyper-intelligent. But, you know, I just that's just a great example. Recruiting is such a crapshoot. So anyway, with all that said, 2024 is a big year. I mean, it just is. And people are like, oh, no, if we don't make the tournament, none of these guys are going to go there. No, it could just be that – Khan thinks that Tony Bennett's a better fit for him. I mean, these are kids, and they have families. They consult, or he might go here. Maybe it's his childhood dream to play at Wisconsin, and this is all just getting free trips and stuff, which is cool and fun. We don't know what is in his heads, you know. And if Notre Dame lets Freitag play football there, okay, kid, good luck. That's awesome. I'm happy for you. I mean, that's you know, he's probably not going to be playing for Luke Fickell because he's a basketball player, as far as we're concerned. So. Anyway, I just think that recruiting, it would be nice to see a few hits, but Bogard apparently has also hit enough recruits to have really solid Big Ten players like Tyler Wall are big. You know, it's just the whole – I just feel like we forget the good and only remember the bad when we're evaluating his evaluating guards' talent evaluation skills.
Yeah, I think that's very true. There's also a vocal minority – right. I'm kind of both whatever argument you're having on both extremes of the spectrum. And I think there's a large middle ground in this that doesn't talk as much, that is probably, quite frankly, pretty OK with Greg Gard, what he's done, and pretty confident in him going forward. That's only kind of a guess on my part, but I believe that to be true.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Well, look, I mean, we touched on this before you went on air. Luke Fickell is both the best thing potentially, besides me, of course, to ever happen in the Wisconsin football program, and maybe one of the worst things, at least in the short run, for the Wisconsin basketball program, mm-hmm. because, you know, this is largely the same fan base. You know, I guess there's some that like football and don't like basketball, but it's the same people. And they see this potentially transcendent coach coming in, getting these incredible transfers and saving a recruiting class and getting looks from these guys and getting 24 guys to get on board, this big arm quarterback from Texas. And they look at Gard, they say, you're Paul Christ. And it's just not accurate. I understand some of the, you know, I think because maybe the style of play and some of the real, you know, kind of gritty, gutty, strong defense, there's some things that are fun little pieces to say they're the same people. Those situations could not be, they could be more different, but they're not nearly the same thing. And I do think maybe there's a different philosophy from Mac, AD Mac, on that too. I don't think – there's nothing that I'm hearing, and no one has come to me with anything that would make me change my mind about this, that Greg Gard is on a hot seat of any sort.
Well, I want to talk about that coming up. I got to take a quick break, but I definitely want to dive more into that specific topic coming up because I have some questions and some thoughts on it for you, and I really want your input there.
Oh, cool. We're doing an advertisement. What do we got today?
We got FanDuel. You know, it's America's number one sports book, right?
Oh, really? It moved up. That's awesome.
So that is where we're going now. Coming up next, keeping Scary on the show. Scary Alvarez, one of the great Twitter follows for Badger fans. Talking to him about the future of the program and the Christ Greg Gard comparison that always keeps coming up. We're going to talk about that next on Locked On Badgers. But first, today's show is brought to you by our good friends over at FanDuel, as we teased, America's number one sports book, midpoint of the NBA season. And if you know me, if you've been listening to the show, you know I'm a Suns fan. That midpoint of the season is a great time to sign up for FanDuel. Get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win, just in case. You know, it's just in case. And if you win, what are you going to spend that scratch on? I'll probably get some more Badger gear. I've been looking into a Barry Alvarez signed helmet. I might get that off eBay, give that away as a swag giveaway. Maybe Scary Alvarez can help me out there. Let's talk favorite bets. Suns NBA title finals coming up, plus 500. Now they got Kevin Durant coming in. I'm all about that. I had money on the Suns before Durant came because y'all know I bet with my heart, not my head. But now it makes sense. Durant's on the court. I can't wait. He actually suits up tomorrow, first game. Excited for that. So don't miss your chance. No sweat first bet up to $1,000 back in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NBA. All right, let's keep this awesome conversation going.
Hey, that's so exciting that you're a Suns fan. You know, the Suns were so close mm-hmm. to being in a position for an NBA title this year. They only thought they needed a top five all-time player.
That's true.
That's true. A lot about how confident they were.
Right. Well, listen, I will never, we talked about this a little before the show. I will probably never forget Giannis for stealing the title from, and I know a lot of people listening to the show are also Bucks fans, and I get ribbed on it all the time in the comments at this point, but I will probably never forgive him, even though he's an incredibly likable superstar. He's maybe the most likable superstar we have in pro sports.
Oh, really? It's not Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, one A, right? Like right in the same tier, probably.
I can't even do that with a straight face. That's good stuff.
Listen, I want to dive in here because I think you brought up something that I find kind of fascinating from guard's perspective with Fickell coming in. Chris McIntosh, to me, and this is a point I've made, he kind of sent a warning flare up a little bit, right? And I don't think Greg Gard is on the hot seat. I don't think he should be. But he also can't help but notice what happened on the football side. And I'm really actually excited to see how he attacks this offseason. Right. I think there's going to be growth there.
I agree. I don't. So let's parse this out. I don't think it means nothing that McIntosh has shown the ability to go big with Fickell. I don't think that means nothing with respect to Greg Gard and his future. How could you not notice that? Mm-hmm. My only point, and I sort of teased it before the break, was for your FanDuel thing. How much is FanDuel paying me to be on the show? Have you guys figured that out yet?
I think we should probably increase that rate with you here, right?
Okay, like, so seven figures. Yeah. We'll talk about this.
Yeah, it's got to be a huge win for them.
Absolutely. It's amazing. I basically built their company. So getting back to that, though, but I with that said, I don't think, and maybe this is misreading McIntosh, who's a little bit of a tough guy to read sometimes now. He's done some surprising things. I don't think it's even close that he's looking at the guard situation in late February, early March of 23, like he was looking at the Chris situation in September of 22. Anyone who thinks those are happening, you're going to be sorely disappointed. I don't think that's even in the cards. Now, fast forward 1 year. The recruits fall through, someone transfers, Wisconsin's on the bubble again or worse. I think it'd be naive to think that the discussion of whether or not Gard is the right person for the program wouldn't be happening internally. Not because I don't think he's earned the ability to coach for three or four more years. I think he probably has under traditional notions of what that means. But in this new weird environment, NIL, win now stuff, it would shock me if there weren't some legitimate wins if that's happening at this point next year, which I absolutely do not think is going to happen. I think we're going to get a good recruiting class. This core of kids that we have now is going to come back next year, potentially almost all of them. There's some bluster about Wall maybe even coming back next year. So this is, and they got some new freshmen coming in, and you got Gus Bus. This could be a really loaded, really exciting, much more up-tempo Wisconsin team next year than what we have kind of suffered through a little bit this year. My thought of the most likely scenarios is whether or not Gard makes the tournament this year or not, Gard is going to come in with a safe job next year with a really solid team and probably contend for a top four Big Ten finish. I think that's the most likely scenario.
Yeah. I want to talk a little more about next year too. So you mentioned Connor, right? You have Connor coming in. He'll be here next year as a sophomore. Gus will be coming in as a freshman. I think Gus is going to be a stud for Wisconsin. I've talked about it. He's going to play right away. Chucky will be a junior. You have all these pieces coming back, plus that recruiting class, plus Gard's going to get somebody in the portal. Like I am firmly convinced, and he's talked about it. He said we have to upgrade the athleticism. We have to upgrade the depth. He's acknowledged it. I think next year could be, like you said, I expect next year to be a really good team for the Badgers. And this is going to make, and I'm leading into my next question, it's going to make this season the anomaly. Right.
Agreed. I think it is. I think it's going to be the anomaly. Too many people, and without doing a lot of analysis, are like, we're on the cusp of a huge decline. Look at the decline. Like, they won two of the three last Big Ten titles. What is the decline? When had they done that previously? Yes, I understand the back-to-back Final Four seasons, but that was the apex of a program in program history, never to be repeated. We don't know that if Bo Ryan would have continued and wanted and has heart into it, whether he would have gotten back there again in his life. We don't know that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like he was recruiting five stars. I mean, Decker came here because he wanted to be a Badger since the day he was a zygote. I mean, Kaminsky was a great find. He was a three-star. I'm not sure Illinois even offered him. So that was just great team building, great chemistry, that you know, that Bo Ryan did and built it the right way, by the way, with Greg Gard's help and a lot of it. So I just don't think we're in any sort of precipice of despair here. I just don't believe that. It's non-zero that things fall apart, but it could happen anywhere. I mean, some of the greatest programs in the Big Ten have had ups and downs. You look at Indiana. I mean, it's a blue blood program. We have been better than Indiana for 24 of the last 26 seasons. We've lost to them four times since 2009. That's a blue blood. You think they're not freaking out? They're looking at Wisconsin with missing a tournament two times in 7 years, and like they're scratching their heads going, you guys are spoiled as fuck. You know, I don't know if they talk like that. They probably have an accent, the Southern Indiana accent.
Right. Can we have those problems? Right. I saw a tweet from a Minnesota account showing the Minnesota's record and basically saying, can we have Wisconsin problems? Right. Where like there is something to the fact that, listen, we did a show earlier in the year. Kentucky has had down years and missed the tournament. The bluest of blue bloods have been through these droughts. And people will say, well, they won a title. Like, well, I mean, sure, but. It's still the fact that you're not going to be good every single year. I know Bo Ryan set a precedent, but that precedent is almost unreachable for anybody.
It's a victim of our own success. And, the runner-up 22, Final Four runner-up is on the same bubble line as Wisconsin this year, for perspective, North Carolina. So, it's just – let's just slow the roll a little bit. And look, it's a coin flip whether this team makes the tournament now. I mean, and that's just, you got to get either Rutgers or Michigan. They had one of those two, they're probably in with one more win. But they're going to have to beat Purdue or else beat Minnesota and make a two-game run in the Big Ten tournament. But heaven forbid, if they don't do it, the Wisconsin basketball team in 23-24 is going to be just fine if Gard's coaching. And hopefully he'll learn from some of the mistakes and shortcomings that he has had this year. We can talk about the end of that game. There are things I was as frustrated with Gard as I had maybe ever been since the Florida game when Nigel should have missed that free throw. But that's nitpicking. But it's fine.
Let me ask you with the Michigan game. What was worse? And for those we're recording this right after that Michigan game with Dickinson in the game winner or the game tire, I should say. But what was worse? Juwan Howard getting the win, Michigan getting kind of into that off that bubble potentially, or Dickinson being the one to hit the shot?
The answer is yes. Look, I think I had said somebody to this effect. I had one of my unpaid interns tweet this out for me that there were 5,600 college basketball players in Division I. I'd rather have hit that shot. It was the worst person who could have possibly hit it, playing for the worst coach whose player could have possibly hit it in the most inopportune time to have it. That was, and I threw this up the flagpole a little bit. That was one of the, not counting Final Four losses, that was one of the most painful Wisconsin basketball losses that I could remember. I was trying to think of another one. And you get knocked out of the season, I understand that. Sweet 16 losses, I get that too. But like regular season, I can't think of one.
No, it's got to be up there for regular season. I mean, there was the Marquette game on the offensive rebound free throw. That was pretty annoying.
It's December, though. You can live with it in December. Yeah, I just feel like a conference game that you need to lock down against what is fast becoming your most hated rival, and with good reason. That was – I just stood there. I was on one of my planes, one of my jets watching it on satellite. I just was running my hands through my thick hair just – contemplating life and where things went wrong that game. But I guess the answer is you just make sure you push him hard enough to get that foul.
Yeah,
who knows? Wasn't in love with how that went.
No, and I want to kind of wrap up here. I've already used 30 of your minutes, and I always run out of time with you before I run.
That's like 20 hours for a normal human.
So it is true. I do want to throw a couple more quick questions up here. We got some questions from people either on YouTube, Twitter, just things I've got in general here. The first one is, I don't know if you saw this. There was a poll on Twitter. I think one of the Badger podcasts, not mine, did it. I think Ike Badger, but it might have been Bucky Cast. But they said, is the program trending down or up? 91% said trending down. Now, I wanted to, we already kind of talked about this. We both believe this year is more of an anomaly than a trend, but do you look at the other year where he missed the tournament, the stuff with Alonzo Tucker, can you make that argument, or are you just kind of reaching? Are you fitting the narrative to your bias at that point?
It's both. You can make the argument because, and that was asked after the Michigan loss, the poll.
I believe it was before the Michigan loss.
Before the Michigan loss.
A week or two ago when that one went up.
Okay. So it's the same stuff has happened all year. So it's the same mindset. I don't think it's unreasonable to think that. I happen to not believe it's true, but an argument can be made. Just like an argument could have been made after 17-18 when we were 15-18 with Ethan Happ, that the program was on the way down there too. Just like you can make the argument that the program was on the way down when Greg Gard couldn't get past the Sweet 16 with Bo's guys. You can make this argument a bunch, and or you know, in 2021 when you have all these guys returning, and you know, you come in fifth or sixth in the Big Ten, squeak into the tournament. Yeah, they had a nice win over North Carolina, but that was a disappointing year. So you can make it after all those years, and maybe because you can make it so many times, you add those together and say maybe it's not great for the program the way it's going. But the reality is, no, I don't think it's trending down. But I understand the mindset.
Okay. Next question I had, and this is from Commandant Clink, who watches our show all the time. Great name. Biggest need next year?
Well, we touched on this already. I mean, I'll go two on this. One is retaining everyone that you have them all come back. And that doesn't count Wall, but if you can get him, that would be great. A healthy Wall coming back, because I think he's not been right all year. And then, very importantly, as we touched on, get a reliable big man in the transfer portal and maybe even a secondary shooter. I think those are the two missing pieces. I mean, Asijan is fantastic. He's only going to get better, but he's the shooter on this team. You got one shooter. You got other guys that can make shots. Chucky can make shots, but he's the shooter. So those are the two things I would go. That'd be my wish list. And as you alluded to earlier, I think Greg Gard, whether it's through NIL use, which I think there's going to be more of that this year, frankly, for the basketball team, or just playing, you know, pounding the pavement, he's going to get a couple guys in here in the transfer portal. So that's that.
Let me add one to you. I think, and this is probably where this comes in the portal potentially as well, I think they could use an athlete on the wing, somebody to get into the paint a little easier, to break down somebody, to get to the free throw line, or even if it's just, you know, one of the hidden things that Johnny Davis did great last year, he averaged like 7 defensive rebounds a game. That athlete that can just fly in and take the ball off the glass and go. I think they need that element somewhere.
You're absolutely right. You know, as far as adding athleticism to the team generally, it's almost become such a thing that I didn't even think about it. You know, it's not that it's hopeless. I just, you know, getting a slasher, even if it's not a Johnny Davis type slasher, would take everything's about taking the pressure off of other elements, taking the pressure off the big man, taking the pressure off the point guard, taking the pressure off the shooter. You know, the more things he can do, obviously, Ryan, the tougher that all of those things are going to be to defend. So anyway, this goes along with it. I just think we need to, you know, lock down that 24 class, keep the people we have, bring a couple people in. Maybe it's a wing, maybe it's not, but you know, definitely a athletic, hopefully, but a competent rebounding big man who can eat fouls and give you 20 minutes.
Yeah, I agree there. He is Scary Alvarez on Twitter, at Barry is the Don. Really fun talk as always, man. I really appreciate it. Is there anything that we didn't hit on, basketball guard, players on the team, McIntosh, that you want to kind of finish up with on this topic?
You know, I could probably go on forever on this stuff. I would just say this let me kind of address Wisconsin fans generally. And I know they think it's commonly thought that I'm a little bit of a homer sometimes with the program. I'm a little more patient than other people. But the reality is I've been proven correct way more often than I haven't been with my positions on stuff, and because I don't fly off the handle easily. If something's bad, you're going to know it. I'm going to say it. I'll be honest about it. And, you know, I really think a little bit of patience right now, whether they make the tournament or not, this is going to be a blip going forward. And if it's not a blip, then you can have those tough conversations next year. I think next year will be the time to have them. If for some reason that team is not successful and we lose people and a siege and transfers, I don't even know where that's coming from, but, and you lose all the big recruits, we can have that conversation. There is no reason not even a remotely rational reason to believe those things are going to happen. I don't believe it.
Yeah, I love it. I mostly agree with you, man. Thank you, as always, for tuning into the show. If you're listening, go follow Barry as the Don. Let him know how much you agree and or disagree with his takes here.
Well, they will. They will.
Well,
you know, by the way, Ryan, let me say one thing before we get off.
Please.
Before we exit, rather. To those that I sometimes shoot back with some blue language or something, I want everyone to know, unless someone calls me a fucking idiot or something, I'm just venting off. I respect people, even if they disagree with me, just because they're wrong. Because if they disagree with me, they are wrong. It doesn't mean that you don't have a right to have those opinions. And so if I'm a little bit salty sometimes, just take it as it comes. It's fun. I give you a shitty git chip or something. Just eat it and give it back to me. It's fine. But I do appreciate the interactions, and it's cool. Except for these dipshits from like Iowa or Minnesota who like three followers and chime in on stuff. Like just get out. This is Wisconsin. I mean, what do you want me to do, man? I'm not going to post PJ Fleck memes that happen with a halo or something. I mean, I'm sorry. If you don't like it, just block me. That's cool.
Yeah, nor should you ever post any PJ Fleck halo meme ever in your life. If you do, you will never come back on this show. I know that probably doesn't really cause too much of a blip in your social life, but it would be a big loss for me.
No, of course it would. But you don't have to worry about me hyping up Fleck. It's all good.
All right. On Wisconsin, we'll talk again tomorrow. Thank you again, as always, to Scary Alvarez at Barry's the Don. Go follow him on Twitter. I appreciate everybody tuning in. And on Wisconsin.
Peace out.